Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the 301st edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Once a Metro of SB Nation, member, of course, of the many websites of SB Nation in all sports. You can also listen to this program on theultimatesportstalk.com. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer to the best of my abilities. First things first, before I give you an opinion of the latest discussions in American soccer, this is a one-hour show. Now, normally I would have guests tonight, but because it's World Cup qualifying, it's your national break and everything else that's going on in World Cup qualifying, I'm going to give the guests a break tonight. We're going to not worry about that tonight, so for now, just go ahead, relax, take it easy. And all I can say is this, is that, you know, let's have some fun. Let's have some fun talking about what we want to talk about, of course, and that is about the game in this country. And once again, the game in this country is looking very solid. It's looking very solid, without a doubt, because let me tell you something. What we saw in the second half against St. Vincent and the Grenadines, that second half is the future, ladies and gentlemen. That second half is the future of the national team. Now, usually I try not to overhype the players that are a part of this because you want them to naturally become more comfortable, let them look a lot better, and at the same time, let them naturally grow into where they're going to be important in the national team. And as of right now, let me just say this. What we have seen from Christian Pulisic has been unbelievable. I am very happy and very excited about the future of this kid with the U.S. national team. For sure, this kid is going to be a fantastic player. And as I've already said, I'm not going to rush him. I'm not going to say things that are going to make him, you know, put pressure on himself. We don't need that to happen for him. Let him naturally evolve. But let me say this. I believe that this kid is going to be absolutely unbelievable when he gets his opportunity in future World Cup qualifiers. I truly believe that. I truly believe that this kid is definitely going places for the national team. I truly believe that. But once again, what we have seen from him, and we understand it's a minnow. We understand it's a, you know, St. Vincent and the Grenadines are not a powerhouse of a national team. We all understand that. But that doesn't mean we can't be excited for him. That does not mean we cannot be excited to see what this kid might be doing. And I think this kid is definitely worth the time. I truly believe that. How he got the ball from Sasha Kljestan to score those goals, how he did not panic on the second goal he scored and bombed the net. That is what I'm talking about. That is what I am saying. That is absolutely wonderful to see what's going to happen there. Because I'm telling you right now, that was awesome. That was awesome to watch. And I truly believe, in my heart of hearts, that kid's going to get a big opportunity in the future for the national team. And I'm very happy that Jurgen Klinsmann is doing the right thing with him. And all you can say is this. The kid is the future. We've been waiting to see what's going to happen with him. And right now, it's absolutely awesome. I love it. You know what else I love? And I'm not saying this because he plays for the Red Bulls. I'm not saying it. But what I am saying is that if Sasha Kljestan has been dominating the league with his assists, if Sasha Kljestan is just dominating the league with his play on the field, set pieces, we're talking about the whole shebang. Why hasn't Klinsmann called him in? I mean, look, I understand Klinsmann wants American players to do well in Europe because that's where everything is going to happen. That's the magic. I understand that. But as we have said many, many times here, as I've said many, many times here, when will an American player get a real opportunity in Europe who is not a defender, who is not a defensive midfielder, who is not a goalkeeper? It's been the question that I keep asking. That has been the question I want answered. Why hasn't an American player who is a goal scorer, who is a striker, a wing in the midfielder, a creative midfielder, not since Claudio Reyna, who has played for Manchester City. Since then, why haven't we seen an American player attacking, doing damage? No, I'm not counting the Landon Donovan loan deals to Everton. Because if I did, then he wouldn't have returned to Major League Soccer. That's right, the loan deals. Listen, it's really simple. It really is. I want to see Americans, attacking players, doing well. Unfortunately for Jozy Altidore, he is the negative. And I'm not trying to say he is a negative, of course not. But what I am saying, very simply put, is this. Jozy Altidore did not do enough to make me believe that he was going to dominate Europe. Just remember, folks, just remember, he only spent one solid season for AZ Alkmaar in the Eredivisie in the Netherlands. He's done nothing in La Liga. He's done nothing in Turkey. And the truth of the matter is, sadly, he's done nothing in England. And like I said before in the past, I love Jozy. Altidore, in my opinion, will always be one of the top prospects that the MetroStars Red Bulls have shown for him to actually be a great goal scorer. He just did not do anything, in my opinion, enough to warrant that. And I still blame Villarreal. I still blame Villarreal. I really do. I still blame them for bringing him over and not doing what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to have him on loan. They were supposed to use him on loan to some club in the lower levels, and they still found a way to mess him up. Villarreal, in my professional opinion, costed Jozy Altidor an opportunity. Who was the manager of Villarreal back in the day? I think you know him. I think Manchester City supporters know who he is. Their former coach, Pellegrini. Pellegrini, in my opinion, ruined Jozy Altidor. He ruined him. Very easily put, ruined him. And it's a shame, because what Jozy could have been. And I mean, he can still attack, he can still do everything, but the point is, he is not the consistent goal scorer he once was. And it's a shame that it is a shame that that happened. I'm sorry to say it. But that's what's going to happen here. That's what the situation calls for. Because I believe right now, Sasha Kljestan and Christian Pulisic is this big tandem that the U.S. national team needs for World Cup qualifying. This is the tandem that they need, the U.S. national team, to go into the hex. Whether they win the group or not, at least they need a point out of it. Get into the hexagonal. Right now, that opportunity is waiting for them tomorrow night, Tuesday night, September the 6th. United States taking on Trinidad and Tobago. And that means at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, on Fox Sports 1, this is the big moment for them to see who will win the group in the semifinals. Who will take on Mexico when November in this calendar year comes around? It is very, very important to get the result that they need. And if they do it in Jacksonville, then we're off and running, ladies and gentlemen. Then that means if the USA can win the group, Columbus is calling. Columbus will be calling. Because that is where and when these two big sides are going to meet up. When the United States takes on Mexico, it's going to be exciting. The thrill is there. And if you want to listen to me call this match, don't forget to, you know where to go. Gotta go to Rabble and listen to my call. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I personally cannot wait. Go to rabble.tv. Look for the Four Seasons Fire logo. And listen live as I call United States versus Trinidad and Tobago. And we'll see if the United States will qualify for the hexagonal. It will be a lot of fun. It will be exciting. We will see some excellent soccer, some excellent football down in Jacksonville, Florida. It should be a lot of fun. It should be awesome. I can't wait. So basically, just got to get ready for this one, folks. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait for it to begin. So we'll see what happens. And we'll see what how much fun we're going to have. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's a short show. So let's go ahead and recap the past matches, of course, in the NASL. We'll go straight to the CBS Sports Network games. And once again, it was August 31st. Fort Lauderdale Strikers 0, Minnesota United FC 0. And, you know, you have to say, that was a very good matchup. My good friend Carter Krishnire was on the call on the from the local hosts. And you have to say that it's just been absolutely wonderful to have these games on CBS Sports Network. Some great action. Unfortunately, no goals. A lot of close calls. A lot of good saves. But it was a very strong matchup, and I thought both sides looked really strong in that one. Next match, of course, on the 31st, Cosmos hosting the Indy 11, and it was a 3-0 victory for the New York Cosmos over at James M. Sheward Stadium. Ruben Bolvar with the opening goal in the 8th minute, then Juan Arango with his first of two in the 17th, converting a penalty, and then Juan Arango again in the 73rd. But before that goal happened, red card for Corey Miller, straight red in the 53rd minute. Indy 11 went down to 10 men. Penalty, of course, for the Cosmos in the 54th minute, which was missed by Juan Arango. So final score in this one, New York Cosmos 3, Indy 11 nil. We go to the next matchup, which is on September the 2nd on a Friday. Ottawa Fury 2, FC Edmonton 2, the Battle of Canada over at TD Place in Ottawa, Ontario. It was an opening goal by Mr. Thomas Stewart in the 2nd minute, but then Darryl Fordyce gets his first goal of the match in the 42nd. I jumped ahead. That's my bad. Maxim Tissot, the former Montreal Impact player in the 36th minute, got his goal for Ottawa Fury. A missed penalty for Ryan Williams in the 19th minute, though, for Ottawa. That could have been 3-0. But then it was Darryl Fordyce for FC Edmonton with his first goal of the match in the 42nd minute. And then he scores the second goal of that matchup in the 62nd minute of play. That is the final score there. Ottawa Fury 2, FC Edmonton 2. Going on to the next matchup here on Saturday, September the 3rd, and it was the Strikers hosting the Cosmos, but that ended up being 0-0 in that one. A couple of yellows here and there, but nothing much going on. Both Jimmy Maurer and Bruno for their respective sides gets the clean sheet, and off they go. Carolina Railhawks hosting the Jacksonville Armada at Wake Med Soccer Park, and it was T.I. Shipolani in the 43rd minute from Al Badawi, and that was the only goal of the match. Nothing else happening in this one. Carolina Railhawks 1, Jacksonville Armada 0. And then was the Indy 11 hosting the Tampa Bay Rowdies, and this one ended in a 1-1 draw as well. It was a 28th minute goal from Justin Chavez, but Mr. Omar Gordon in the 34th minute. That would be the equalizer, and nothing much after that. Final score, Indy 11-1, the Tampa Bay Rowdies 1. Going on to the next one, Puerto Rico FC at home against Miami FC, and unfortunately for Puerto Rico, it was a three-goal barrage by Miami FC. And wow, unbelievable stuff. Johnny Steele, the man of steel, 15th minute with the opening goal. And then it would be Dario Svetanic in the 54th minute who made it 2-0. Kwadwopoku gets his tally in the 88th. And that is all she wrote. Your final score is Puerto Rico FC 0, Miami FC 3. Moving on now to the next match, Minnesota United FC defeating the Oklahoma Rio OKC. It was Christian Ramirez once again with the goal in the 44th minute just before halftime. And that's all that she wrote goals-wise. But unfortunately, Michelle, in the 88th minute, got a straight red card for a challenge that was very frustrating for him. And that would be it. Minnesota United 1, Rio OKC 0. And believe that's it for the weekend. Yes, it is. So let's go ahead and take a look at the standings in the fall season right now. New York Cosmos in first place with 27 points. FC Edmonton in second place with 24. Indy 11 in third place with 21. But don't forget that the spring season champions, so they will be going into the playoffs. Minnesota United in fourth place. 20 points. Miami FC in 5th place with 19 points. Carolina Railhawks in 6th place with 15 points. Rio OKC in 7th place with 13 points. Tied with Fort Lauderdale Strikers with 1 point. But Rio OKC with a minus 1 on the differential. Fort Lauderdale with a minus 3. Ottawa Fury in 9th place with 12 points. Also tied with them is Tampa Bay Rowdies. Ottawa Fury with a minus 1 on the differential. Tampa Bay Rowdies in minus 4. That's why Tampa Bay is in 10th place. Jacksonville Armada in 11th place with 10 points. And Puerto Rico FC in dead last with 8 points. 12 matches played. A win, 5 draws, 6 losses. Scoring 9 and allowing 20 with a minus 11 on the differential. And now we go to the combined seasons. Cosmos in first place with 45. FC Edmonton in second place with 41. Indy 11 in third place with 39. Minnesota United in fourth place with 36. Carolina Railhawks in fifth place with 29. Tampa Bay Rowdies with 28. Same thing with Fort Lauderdale. Rowdies ahead on the differential. Strikers in seventh place. Eighth place, Miami FC with 26 points. Rio OKC. 9th place with 25 points. Ottawa Fury in 10th place with 21 points. And Jacksonville Armada in 11th place, dead last with 17. Once again, we will not count Puerto Rico FC in this combined standings. This is their opening end of the season. They did not start the spring. So let's go to the schedule now for the NASL as we go on to the fall season. And as we get down there, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, in the NASL. On Wednesday, September the 7th, on One World Sports National Game of the Week, midweek, I should say, Puerto Rico FC hosting Ottawa Fury FC at Juan Ramon Lubrial Stadium. Locally on Rogers TV in Ottawa, Ontario, as well as all of Canada, and WAPA TV in Puerto Rico. On Saturday, September the 10th, the Fort Lauderdale Strikers host the Indy 11 at Central Broward Stadium. On beIN Sports or beIN Sports Connect, SFL TV locally in Fort Lauderdale. The fall season, once again, at 7 o'clock Eastern, the New York Cosmos hosting Minnesota United FC at James M. Short Stadium, One World Sports, locally as well as nationally, and My29 over at Minnesota, locally. Fall season, Carolina Railhawks at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, hosting the Ottawa Fury at the Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, North Carolina, nationally on ESPN3, Rogers TV, Time Warner Cable Sports Channel 323, and WRAL Channel 2, on radio, 1550 a.m., The Ticket. And then at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, Puerto Rico FC hosts the Tampa Bay Rowdies at the Juan Ramon Lubrial Stadium, national on ESPN3, locally in Puerto Rico on WAPA TV. And then on Sunday, September 11th, FC Edmonton hosting Miami FC at Clark Field at 4 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Mountain, nationally on ESPN3, nationally as well as locally on Gold TV, and locally in Edmonton City TV. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Rio, OKC hosting Jacksonville Armada FC at Miller Stadium, nationally on ESPN3, locally on Cox 703, locally on CW17, WCWJ, and locally on the radio, Project 106.9 FM, iHeart radio station. So that is your schedule for the NESL. And before we move on to the New York Red Bulls segments, you know, I am very disturbed. It's very disturbing, I should say, to see what has happened between the former part owner of Rio OKC and, of course, Rio Vallecano. We've heard about the field turf being removed from the local high school stadium that Rio OKC is using, because apparently it sounded like Rio Vallecano was going to sell off the field turf after the season, which leads me to believe, unfortunately, that Rio Vallecano is going to end the one-and-done season of Rio OKC. Now, once again, this is just speculation on my part. I want to be perfectly clear that this is complete speculation on my part, because I really don't know what's going on. Only from what I've been told by Chris Brannick, the former soccer writer at the Oklahoman, and the gentleman from the Scissor's Tale podcast. This has been a very, very tough thing for me to see the negative happen with the North American Soccer League. You know, we all know Minnesota United's going to MLS. What we did not know is that there's the possibility, and it looks more and more closer to a reality, that Rio OKC is about to disappear as well. There was wonderful growth of the game in Oklahoma City, and to see it go away the way it has, and to see what Rio Vallecano has done, it's a shame. This is what happens when you have a club not just in debt in Spain. Not just in debt, because let's be honest with ourselves here. Maybe it wasn't a smart move by Vallecano to create this American club. But being relegated to the second division in Spain, and you still were planning to get rid of this club regardless, is just absolutely a terrible thing to do. Once again, you don't believe in the American game, and that's fine, and that's okay, and maybe you shouldn't have been involved in the first place. But the way these things have happened, it's really simple. Maybe you should have just talked to your partners here in the States and maybe just say to them, we are going to break away. We are going to leave this club and get away. Pardon me. And to just get away. But you didn't do that. You didn't offer to at least help look for new owners to be a part of this. You didn't look for other partners to help these people in Oklahoma City who wanted to be a part of this. You just wanted to kill it off. And that is a shame. That is a big, big shame. And all I can say is this. For everyone that is from Oklahoma City that is listening to this, I'm here to tell you guys right now, I feel very bad for what has happened to you, and I'm sorry this happened to you. I know the energy is still there, but they're in the USL. You wanted to be a part of the NASL, and I understand that. I think it's only fitting that someone else that has deep pockets, maybe a major business owner in Oklahoma City or at least within the state, can come in and save the club. That's all you could have done. Just say this: we will leave you alone. We will help you look for new owners, but at the end of the year, our name is no longer attached to it. And that's the end of it. That could have been it. You could have let them live. You could have let them live, Rayo Vallecano. You could have let this Oklahoma City club live if you would have just helped them find new owners, or at least those owners that are going to take over your end. What did you do? You acted scared. You were cowardly. And you were finding a way to just end it all. And it's a real shame. The way things have happened here, it is terrible. And a lot of good people have lost their jobs or have left a good thing that they wanted to be involved with this club. You took their dedication and their heart and you just tore it out of their chests and you threw it away. It is a shame what you've done. And all I ask from the North American Soccer League next time is that if this is going to happen, you need to have assurances that this will never, ever happen again. If you're going to get a professional club from Europe that wants to bring in and wants to be a part of the American soccer scene, we need to have people who are truly dedicated. As soon as there's a hint of relegation, oh my God, it is terrible. You are, without a doubt, shameful. And it's tough to see that. And I only hope Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and Barcelona destroy you every opportunity they get. I hope they send you back down to the fourth division if there is one. Because this is just absolutely disgusting. All right, everybody. Now we're going to move forward here. We're going to talk about the Red Bulls' victory. First ever victory in BC Place, first ever victory against the Vancouver Whitecaps and the New York Red Bulls at this particular point in time. A 10-match unbeaten streak, 2-match winning streak. Bradley Wright Phillips scores the goal, his 17th of the season, his 62nd career goal, scoring the most goals within a 3-year span, tying a record with Chris Wondolowski. Unbelievable what this man has done. Unbelievable what this man has done because this man has been just unreal when he scores goals. We know he's streaky. He can be streaky good. He can be streaky bad. All I can say is this. Bradley Wright Phillips deserves to be mentioned within the talk for most valuable player in the league. And right now, there's a big opportunity here for Bradley Wright Phillips, not just only 3 goals away from getting another 20-goal season within 3 years. And it all depends on how he's going to perform in the remaining matches in league play. But obviously, this is a situation for Bradley Wright Phillips to maybe flirt with history once again. Because right now, he is 3 goals away from getting number 20, 10 goals away from going for a second attempt at the record that Roy Lassiter still holds, tied with him and Lassiter and Chris Wondolowski. Let's go to the schedule right now. DC United at Red Bull Arena, Sunday, September 11th. On the road in Toronto on Sunday, September the 18th. Home against the Montreal Impact on Saturday, September the 24th. Home to the Philadelphia Union against on Saturday, October the 1st. Home to the Columbus Crew on Sunday, October 16th. And then finishing off the regular season on October the 23rd, Sunday. So 1-2. And this is not counting the last two CONCACAF Champions League matches at home against Alianza FC from El Salvador and Antigua Football Club of Guatemala. So we have, once again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches remaining. The question is this. 7 matches remaining. Does Bradley Wright Phillips do it again? Does he threaten that record that is tied with himself, Wondolowski, and Roy Lassiter? He needs at least a hat trick. At least a hat trick to put himself into that discussion for Lassiter territory. He needs a hat trick anywhere at least to go forward and do damage. Sasha will be back after this coming Tuesday, after tomorrow. But I'm telling you right now, Kleistian coming back to help Bradley Wright Phillips will be tremendous. Now, going back to the match, Eric Hurtado needs to get his eyes checked, because how many times did he put himself in dangerous positions and how many times did his shot go well off target? I mean, for goodness sake, 7 shots. 7 shots. And Hurtado barely missed. How about the last one where he's like clean in front of goal, in front of Robles? Clean in front of goal. It's just unbelievable how he misses those chances. We are seeing this man, Eric Hurtado, just not doing the damage at all. It's just been unbelievable how, yep. Well, all I can say is this. All I can say is this, is that if the Red Bulls are extremely lucky that they didn't get scored on. So all you can say is this, is that the Red Bulls getting out of danger found a way to play some solid defense, and at the same time getting their first ever victory against the Vancouver Whitecaps. Now, I have to say, it's great having Dax McCarty back with the club. It's great to see him back out there. It was absolutely wonderful to see what happened with Dax McCarty coming back from that injury. And thankfully, it wasn't broken. It was only a fracture, and it healed quickly. Very grateful. Very grateful that Dax McCarty is feeling a lot better. So all I can say is this. What we have seen right now with the Red Bulls is this, is that they have, in my view, they have come all the way back from that horrible start to now threatening New York City FC with first place in the Eastern Conference. We are now seeing the New York Red Bulls threatening New York City FC with just one single point behind of claiming first place in the East. And if you want to take a look at the schedule to see who NYCFC are playing right now, we can do that. We can... Dare we go to the other side? I think we can. So here we go. We have Saturday, September the 10th. They're going to be at the Revolution. Home against FC Dallas on September 17th. Home against Chicago Fire on Friday, September 23rd. Home to the Houston Dynamo on Friday, September the 30th. Away at the Houston Dynamo, on Friday, September the 30th. Then, Sunday, October 16th, at DC United. And then, on Sunday, October the 23rd, they're home to the Columbus Crew. So, six matches remaining. Six matches remaining for New York City FC. And if we can go back to the Red Bulls, 6 matches remaining for the New York Red Bulls. Very interesting. Very, very exciting. And let's also not forget 2 matches remaining in the CONCACAF Champions League. All the Red Bulls need is 4 points. And it is over. Because if they get 4 points, they'll win the group. They'll advance to the quarterfinals for next year. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a lot of fun. I personally cannot wait to see what's going to happen here. So all you can say is we have an opportunity, or at least the Red Bulls have an opportunity, so this is it, guys. This is it. This is the opportunity that we're all waiting for. This is the opportunity that I personally cannot wait for, and hopefully we will see what will happen here, and we will see what's going to happen for the New York Red Bulls, because one slip and it's all over. And that means for the New York Red Bulls, they'll basically lead New York City FC. So a win will leapfrog them. A loss or a draw would knock NYCFC down to second place. And we'll see what happens over this coming weekend. I want to talk about now the USL team and Konrad Pliwa. It was absolutely wonderful to see Konrad Pliwa get back on the field after his ordeal. To see him come back on the field after what happened to him with the situation he had. And you really hope that doesn't happen to anyone, you know, young, old. You really hope it doesn't happen. because no one should ever go through that. No one should ever go through what Pliwa went through. It's just unbelievable what happened. Just unbelievable what happened there. And all you can say is that I'm just grateful that we're not talking about this person dying at a very young age. Hopefully this will never, ever happen again. And hopefully we will never see that happen to a good person like Conrad Pliwa. So all I can say is this. I'm just glad he's okay. I'm just glad he's doing all right. I'm just glad that he is doing very well with everything. Everything that happened to him. But other than that, that is all we'll talk about for the New York Red Bulls. And as we are going to, you know, got some time here to wrap up the show here. And let me just say this. World Cup qualifying is a very, very interesting animal, isn't it? And World Cup qualifying will always be a very interesting thing when it comes to the United States, because once again, this is an international break. I know a lot of I was going to say something. Oh, hold on a second. Before I even get to that, I want to talk to you guys. I forgot. That's my fault. I wanted to talk to the Red Bull supporters for a moment here because, you know, reading what some of you guys have been saying and, you know, you're not happy with Marsh because Alex Mule is not talented enough or whatever you're saying and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. Marsh is the manager. If he's going to put Mule in there, he's going to put Mule in there. Okay? I know you believe that Gonzalo Verón has more talent than Mule does, blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is this, okay? Jesse Marsh is going to use whoever he wants and use them how he sees fit. Would I like to see Verón get more of a chance? Absolutely. Absolutely. But once again, the injuries basically, you know, it told. It told up for what happened. I'm not saying it's right. Not saying it's wrong. But the truth is this. There is nothing you can say or do that will make Marsh change his mind. Where is Verón right now? Well, I'll be honest with you. Verón is at a place where he shouldn't be. And that was more because of the injuries. Will he get a chance to start now? Against DC, he will, because Grella and Mule will be suspended. And let me also say this. I also find it completely funny that you guys think that Grella should be benched. Why should he be benched? Tell me. Why should he be benched, Mike Grella? You tell me why. Just so Verón could get an opportunity? Verón, right now, at this point in time, if you want to be honest, needs to do a little bit more. I know he's got talent, not questioning the talent, but the way that the club is playing right now, where do you see Verón deserving at least a true opportunity? And you keep forgetting there's two Champions League matches left. I just find it hilarious that everyone's harassing on Marsh. And what happens? Let's just say what happens if Verón maybe doesn't fit here. Whose fault is that? You're going to blame Marsh again? Can't blame him. But it looks like it's the easy thing to do because you think that Verón needs to basically get all the minutes he can. And I'm not questioning Verón's talent because I believe he has it. But you tell me. And that's why you're not the coach. This is why you are in the seats where I used to be. Why do you think Marsh has been trying to give him all these opportunities? Do I think Verón is talented? Yes. Would I like to see Verón start? Yeah. But sometimes you just have to understand they're on a 10-match winning streak right now. Mule is the future. And whether you like it or not, Mule is going to start. And I'm not blaming anybody here, but all I'm saying is to calm down. This isn't about, you know, where he comes from or whatever it is that is. But Verón has to know at times when to not play recklessly. Going back to the home game against the New England Revolution, what happened? Verón, with a terrible challenge from behind, gets booked. And that's not what we want to see. So all I'm saying is this, guys. We need to take it easy. You need to take it easy, calm down, and relax. The club is unbeaten in 10. They are now on a 2-match winning streak. They are unbeaten in 10 and on a 2-match winning streak. And to be honest with you, this was the match that everyone thought they were going to lose. Because it was a trap game. And they were just lucky that Hurtado couldn't connect. That's all. All right. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, and I wanted to get that out of the way, here's the thing where I want to tell you guys about tomorrow night once again. This is going to be a huge, huge, huge matchup. United States taking on Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago already qualified for the Hex, so get ready for some fun because this is going to be it. The winner of this matchup, or whoever finishes first place in Group C, whoever's going to finish up in Group C will host Mexico in the first qualifier in November. This is big, folks. This is going to be big. If the United States ties Trinidad and Tobago, they will start their campaign at home against Costa Rica. And then the location might be different. So we will wait and see what's going to happen. It should be a lot of fun. It should be exciting. You know, I can't wait for this. I personally cannot wait to see what's going to happen with the United States, with Kleistjen and Pulisic. And you know what? Maybe they do deserve the start. Maybe they do deserve to start, and we will see what's going to happen when the United States is going to go out there Tuesday night. We're going to wait and see what they're going to do, because it should be a lot of fun. Now, once again, if you don't want to, if you want to watch but not listen to the broadcasters on Fox Sports 1, you can listen to me on Rabble.tv. It is already up there, ready to go. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then you can come back here tomorrow night, blogtalkradio.com/4YourScenesFire. You can come back and you can listen to the post-game show. We'll have Robert Hay Jr. joining me, trying to get one more guest if possible. Hopefully we will, or I will, and we can have some fun. And we can enjoy discussing what's been going on with the U.S. men's national team. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I personally cannot wait. And we're just going to have fun, folks. Fun, fun, fun. World Cup qualifying. It's going to be awesome. I personally cannot wait. And I know you can't wait for it either. Thank you very much for listening tonight. Join me tomorrow on Rabble, as well as blogtalkradio.com on the post-game show. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. As always, please enjoy your football. Bye-bye. Take care. So long for now. Good night, everybody.